Let it go.
This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to Ottawa Now. It is 3:08. So that news conference right now with the federal ministers, including the new finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, continues. The big headline, Ottawa is extending the CERB for 4 more weeks, and they are spending $37 billion in this transition plan to come up with new sickness and care benefits as a way to transition people off of the CERB. So some people will be going from the CERB to EI. Other people will be going into these other programs that they have created. So we're going to keep tabs on that, and we have Marvin Ryder joining us coming up on the show. 3:09 now, the head of OC Transpo says that Rideau Transit Group is nearing completion on the rectification plan to deal with issues on Ottawa's light rail transit system. In an interview with CTV Ottawa, OC Transpo boss John Manconi says that he's pleased with what he's seeing. The interview suggested that there has been progress made on the troubled LRT, which is good because with people going back to school, some people going back to work, it is going to put pressure on the system. And when I chatted with the OC Transpo, with the transit chair, Alan Hubley, a little while back, and I was talking to him about the fall, he was pretty frank that this system needed to be fixed. Do you think by the time that most people are back at work, that the Confederation line will be up to snuff?
It better be. That's certainly our goal. That's our demand. It's not just a goal. We've demanded that of RTG and RTM. We're serious about that. There's going to be very serious consequences if they do not deliver on that.
That was Alan Hubley, chair of the Transit Commission, talking to me about the future of LRT, saying it better be ready when people go back to school and back to work. Joining me right now, I have John Manconi on the line. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Christy.
So you're the head of OC Transpo. Let me ask you, what progress are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing progress on multiple fronts. This month alone, RTM has done a really good job of getting 15 trains out on a regular basis. Since just the end of the first week of August, they've been putting out 15 trains. And they've done a lot of work on the rectification plan. You remember there's about 5 or 7 buckets of work that need to be done, everything from track to catenary to the trains and so forth. And they're signaling to us, our teams have been in meetings all this week, that things are nearing completion. And so we're doing an independent review, bringing in some technical experts with specialized skills and equipment to put a fresh set of eyes to do further due diligence on the rectification plan. But the trend is certainly positive. It's going in the right direction. And as you've heard me, the chair, the city manager, the mayor say over and over again, they get paid when they deliver. And the partial payment that we've given them, some of that is reflective of the good performance in the time period, about $12 million of the $17 million is for that. We're still holding back a lot of funds. You know, they're technically eligible for, on the maintenance side, $43 million. They're only getting $17. And we're also holding back $16 million for those additional double trains, which they say officially will be September 8th. They're only getting $17 million out of what they could have earned $60 million. And that is incentivizing them, and they've got good people on the ground. They've got good leadership. We like what we see, but it needs to be consistent. And no train system is perfect, but what we had last year is not acceptable to anybody. And our job, our collective job, is to make sure that the residents, the community, the taxpayers, and our staff get great service.
Okay, there's a couple things I want to circle back to there. The first is the $17.4 million for LRT mm-hmm. maintenance. I recognize, as you've mentioned, that there have been deductions applied for poor performance. But given the system, the state it is in right now, today, August 20th, do you feel that that is appropriate with the system we have right now?
I mean, you know, you pay people for service, no different than a service contract at your house. If you pay someone to come in and cut the grass, and they cut the grass and they do it well, you're going to pay them. If they don't cut the grass well, you don't pay them. Well, from October to January, there's $12 million alone just for that period that we're holding back because they didn't deliver good service. But May to July, they had good months, with consistent service, and the way the contract works. And, you know, you've heard it over and over again, and we're legally required to pay them when they deliver. And we want to pay them. You know, you've heard the chair say it. I've said it. Paying them means that we're getting what the customer, is required to receive, which is great service. And so, trust me, they are hurting on the pocketbook. The new CEO that's come in, Nicolas Truchon, his mission is clear: get great service so they get money. Those weeks and months of slogging it out in the boardroom, of us making it clear that they were not getting paid. You know, there's a lot of battle scars, on my back, but, that's worth it because I was defending the public and our council. And, the way you, incentivize them is not paying them, and they need money to keep going. We want them to be successful. They will be successful. It will be a great system. I've heard from many, many people, including in CTV yesterday. You heard those customers saying how great it was. When it's running well, as the mayor says, it's a treat to be on, and it will be like that. It's going to be consistent. We just need to stay focused and stay committed to it.
Right, but it's not consistent because they promised 15 trains regularly during peak service periods. And I'm reading this memo right here, memo to members of council and the Transit Commission. You say at times they've been able to accomplish this, but they haven't been doing it consistently due to a wheel cracking issue, which the memo states requires ongoing safety inspections. What does that mean? What's going on there?
Well, Christy, it means what it says, right? It's they were going to meet the August 4th deadline. Unfortunately, they have the cracked wheel issue. I give credit where credit is due. Alstom and RTM did exactly what professional railroaders do. They immediately issued a safety bulletin and started a very rigorous test regime. We called in TSB. We notified them. Our Transport Canada is engaged. Our independent safety auditors engaged, and my chief safety officer engaged. And it's unfortunate they can't, nobody's going to take a safety risk. And so, the good news is they believe they found root cause. They have a strategy that is going to get that issue rectified. And the safety regime that they put in place, I give them full credit because it's doing a proactive inspection and it's picked up, the cracked wheels. I think we've got five in total, separate wheels, and it's doing what it's intended to do. Had the crack wheel situation not come up, they would have been running 15 doubles.
So they believe they found the root cause of the wheel cracking issue, and they're saying they'll have 15 trains ready for peak use by September 8th. Do you buy that? Are you confident in that?
Yes, I do, because they've been running 15 double trains this month.
Right, and, but we're only August 20th. I mean, to be fair, there's only been 20 days in this month.
Christy, listen, I have been very, very critical of RTM when they deserve it. I will also give them credit when credit is due. They've run 15 double trains since, I believe, August 6th, I think, is the date, save and except on two occasions, every Monday to Friday. And you've seen those trains zipping back and forth consistently. And there's been minor breakdown issues like any railroad, and they've responded very, very well. And we've asked them point blank, you didn't make that August 4th date. What date do you believe you'll achieve? And they've committed to September 8th. There's nothing indicating to me that they will not make September 8th. If they make it, they get $16 million of money that we held back and protected the taxpayers on. So we've done everything right. We've been clear in terms of you get paid when you deliver what you're supposed to deliver. And so is everything perfect? Absolutely not. But I was clear in my last update. I'm not putting our customers through that brutal winter that we had last year. And Christy, whether it's full trains or half trains or light trains, we want a great system. We want a system that's consistent with what's out there in the industry, which is high 90s in terms of reliability. You'll never get 100%. And we've been seeing them hit those numbers this month.
Listen, I don't want to play what if, what if, what if, but I feel with the system that we have to. So what if, come September, they are not having the 15 trains running? What happens then?
They don't get their $16 million. The public will not have an issue because the ridership is so low right now. And even in September, you've heard the federal government is not returning to work. City employees are not returning to work. The trains right now, there's ample space on those trains. So I don't like to do the what-if thing. What I'm looking for is good, consistent service. And I'm indicating to council, and I've indicated to you, that there is improvement. It's not perfect. Do they have some work left to do? Yes. We're adding an extra layer of inspection to see what the rectification plan is. And to their credit, they've listened and taken our advice on a lot of the pieces that we've suggested and recommended. It's been a bit of a shift organizationally there. It's not as combative as before in terms of, throwing out dates and not achieving them. They're very conservative in that regard. So we can play the what-if game all we want, but I think we're past all that. I think we've been through a very difficult period for our community and our customers and our council. The council takes the brunt of the calls and the negativity and our staff. So what if doesn't do anything right now? What works right now is staying focused on having a good, reliable system. I like what I see. I'm going to continue to press them. I'm going to continue to press the protect the taxpayer.
Listen, it's not like I enjoy sitting here talking about what if in the winter. You have to think about all of these people, and I know you do because you hear about it, all of these people that were standing in the cold. We don't want to go through that again. So a lot of people are thinking, am I going to rely on LRT? Am I going to rely on OC Transpo this winter? And they're having conversations about that as they head back to work, or if they are heading back to work. Just on the COVID-19 topic, because this is our current reality, we just learned today that an OC Transpo driver has tested positive for COVID-19. That is now the 9th employee at the transit service that has tested positive for COVID-19 since August. Are you confident in OC Transpo's safety protocols, or is it time for something to change?
I'm absolutely confident, 100%, in our safety protocols, and I'll tell you why. Dr. Etches and I talk once, twice, three times a week on a regular basis, and her staff are integrated with our task force of COVID oversight, and every single measure we do, we run by public health, and they have been outstanding, and we talk about issues, we talk about numbers, and those numbers that you've seen right now, we do have to put that in perspective. We have, I think, almost 2,000 operators, and the department has almost 3,000 employees. So we're doing a bunch of protective measures, and we're continuing to adjust and adapt. And with every single report, there's contact tracing, which we proactively put out those memos because we want to protect the public. And so we have forgotten a few things. Number one, Ottawa led the pack in North America. First jurisdiction to go to rear door boarding. That came from a union employee suggestion that they saw overseas. Municipality in Canada to do mandatory masks on transit. Now everybody's following suit. So that's leading the pack because we have safety at the forefront of everything we do. And I have Dr. Etches, a great colleague of mine, who I have the utmost respect. She's been doing a phenomenal job. And right from the get-go, her and her team have been embedded with us in terms of everything that we do because we play such a vital role. And lastly, we care. We care about our public, and we care about our employees that have proven since day one we're there for the community.
Head of OC Transpo, John Manconi, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That is OC Transpo boss John Manconi.
Toast to the ones in the day. Toast to the ones. You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to Ottawa Now. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. You're listening to Christy Cameron. And I just have a couple comments on that conversation with John Manconi. Good of him to come on the show, and I appreciate that he's willing to come on and talk about this. I know that it's not a pleasant conversation. I don't think anyone enjoys continuing to talk about the troubled LRT system. I certainly don't. But, just a couple of points on that. I'm glad he's optimistic. I'm not. I'm glad that he is. But it's August 20th now. So while he is looking at this with a cautiously shaped optimistic perspective, I am not, because they haven't been able to run the 15 trains consistently. And he said, well, they have been since the first week of August. It's only August 20th. It's only been 20 days. And they have not been able to do it. It's an 11-month-old system, and they have not been able to do it on a consistent basis. And we are coming up to the start of the school year. We are coming up to the start of cool weather. The evenings are getting a little bit crisper. In the mornings, you can feel that hint of fall in the air. And the system is not fixed yet. Despite being given the gift of time, RTG did not get its act together. It has not been able to fix all of these various problems that continue to slow this system down. And at August 20th, staring down the barrel of the fall, I am not feeling like they have accomplished everything that they need to. So he said there that they've determined what they believe is the root cause of the wheel cracking issue. Well, good. I will be optimistic when they've fixed it. They're doing these ongoing safety inspections. When they've actually fixed the root cause of the wheel cracking issue, maybe then it's a different story. But I mean, can you imagine if we were not in the middle of a pandemic? All of the people that are not on the train, that would have been on the train, they've had the entire summer to fix this, and they haven't. So sorry if you can't color me rosy over here. And sorry if I sound like I'm ticked off. It's because they haven't fixed it. They have not fixed it, and they've had a lot of time to do so. All right, coming up on the show, lots to talk about. We will have Diane Deans on the show, longtime Ottawa City Councillor who is getting back to work. You know, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer last year, and she is going to return to work in September. So we'll be speaking with her coming up at the 5 o'clock mark on the show. Coming up next, talking about back to school. Lyra Evans, a school board trustee in Zone 9, will join us. She's been proposing increasing the budget for the upcoming school year to hire more teachers and cap class sizes. We'll talk about that and OCDSB's new and improved, well, maybe not improved depending on what your perspective is, but their revised plan for the school year. Right on the other side of the 3:30 news.
So why don't we go out and get a drink in the West End? Smoke a cigarette and talk about exes. Take a couple shots and see where the night ends.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA. Take a couple
shots and see where the night ends. Welcome back to Ottawa Now. You're along for the ride with Christy Cameron. We're on the air until 6 o'clock tonight. A lot developing this afternoon. The plans for what comes after CERB. EI, if you're eligible for it. If you're not, there's a number of other programs that they've created, that they've cooked up. Sickness and care benefits, $37 billion for this transition plan, which is part of our economic recovery. They're also extending the CERB for 4 weeks until they move into that next stage. So we'll talk about that coming up on the show. It's pretty interesting. Just watching the government in real time as we cook up all of these different programs, as we try to execute them, as we're all learning on the go. Also coming up on the show, should trick-or-treating be canceled? How unsafe is it really? What changes do we have to make? Why are we talking about this in August, on August 20th? Back to school I get. Trick-or-treating, not so much. Well, because the medical officer of health, Dr. Vera Etches, was asked about it this morning, and she didn't say Halloween is canceled. Before you start freaking out like many people are online, take a deep breath. It's okay. We'll get through this together. She did say, though, there may have to be some changes. So we'll chat with an epidemiologist, Colin Furness, and he'll join us coming up on the show. We'll also talk about going back to the movies as Cineplex opens up all of its theaters in Eastern Ontario starting on Friday. But right now at 3:39, an Ottawa Carleton District School Board trustee wants the board to spend extra money to hire 1,800 new teachers and to create more classroom spaces this fall. It would be spending an extra $255 million. The idea came from trustee Lyra Evans, who introduced a motion during Tuesday's budget debate. And I have that school board trustee on the line right now from Zone 9. Thank you for coming on the show.
It's great to be here.
Fantastic to have you. So this motion, I understand, has been deferred until the next budget meeting. Why did you put this on the table?
I put this motion on the table because we, as a school board, are not spending what we need to be reopening safely. Public education is one of the cornerstones of society, and we know that with a plan that doesn't meet the needs of all of our students in the pandemic, there are going to be students who get left behind, and that's going to have knockoff effects 10 years down the line.
When you say there are going to be students left behind, can you just elaborate on that? What do you mean?
So students with special needs are going to have a harder time having those needs met during the pandemic. Students are going to get, in high school, are going to get less class time because they're going to be doing partial distance learning. They're going to be doing partial asynchronous learning. And so they're going to be getting fewer teacher minutes. And that means students who would have struggled the most under the normal system will be having more trouble in the current system because the supports won't be there.
I should note that the youngest students, followed by those with special needs in both elementary and secondary schools, will be going back first, according to the updated plan that was released yesterday, and then the older students. But what did you think about some of the sample schedules that were distributed?
So I have been very disappointed in the sample schedules. Part of the reason I put this forward is because I believe that our kids should be in school full time. And I believe that we should be doing this as safely as we can to make sure that we don't have classes larger than 15, which was the provincial numbers that were recommended. If you look at Denmark, they have classes of 10 to 12, and they have seen remarkable success in their COVID reopening education plans.
Mm. Okay, so you say you're very disappointed. What do you think we could do right now? I know that this motion has been deferred, so we don't have this money on the table at the moment. There hasn't been a hiring of 1,800 new teachers. What do you think can happen imminently right now to make this more feasible, to make this better?
So this is sort of the thing. We're stuck with a series of provincial limitations. School boards have been given a set amount of money and told to make it work and then handed a bunch of extra requirements in addition to the fixed amount of money.
I want to play a clip of the Premier, Doug Ford, because he was asked about hiring more teachers today at his daily news conference. Here's what he said.
Every board is responsible to hire their teachers. We put money forward. Not only did we put $30 million forward, and first of all, let me go back. I don't like the idea of comparing apples and oranges, first of all. Two separate groups. But in saying that, if they do want to compare it, we're giving teachers $30 million right off the hop. To hire more teachers. And then on top of that, we have the reserves. Toronto alone has over $100 million of reserves to hire more teachers. That's 1,000 more teachers if they spend $60 million, a little over 1,000. So the reserves are there for the rainy day fund. And no, I haven't seen a storm like this in quite some time in my lifetime. So let's use the reserves and hire more teachers. We all work together. We're going to get through this. Put all this, the teachers unions have to put all this political nonsense behind them. I'm serious. Like, just put it behind you guys. Let's work together.
Okay, so I don't want to get into the teacher discussion there at the end, but he was talking about the fact that school boards need to dip into the rainy day fund. The Ottawa-Carleton District School Board has apparently a projected $17 million deficit. And as you know, school boards are required to pass a balanced budget and submit it to the Ministry of Education. I had on yesterday Camille Williams-Taylor, who's the Director of Education, and I was asking her about your motion. Here's what she said.
What we do know is that we are planning with the resources that we know we have available to us now. And so a decision on that has not yet been made, but we must plan to be ready for our students. So we certainly plan with the reality of what our current resources are.
So how do you respond to that comment that we need to plan given our current reality right now? This is not an ideal world. This is what we have.
It makes complete sense to me that Camille would come out and say that they're going to plan with what they have, because if this motion didn't pass or doesn't pass, they can't have made plans and not have been able to cover the check, as it were. So I understand where she's coming from, but as a trustee, as someone who has the ability to pass an unbalanced budget and ask the province to fund it, I think it is important that the board makes that stance and says, here's what it would cost to do this right. We don't have $225 million in reserves. We don't have the requisite, the money it would take. And so all we can do is say, here's what it would cost, and then ask the province.
And do you think the province, based on the Premier's comments, based on his perspective, what he's putting out there, that he's receptive to that?
So I think that if all of the school boards in Ontario stood up and said, this is what it would cost to do public education right. The province would take that to heart and come out and fund things adequately. Right now, there has been a lot of fear around the table for our school board, where if a single school board passes an unbalanced budget, the province can send in a person and suspend the entire board and replace the entire board with one person. And that fear that that would happen to any individual board means that each board has been not doing the advocacy that I think the school boards as a collective should be doing in the province.
Your fellow trustee Keith Penny told the board meeting, and you know, I know you were there, saying in an ideal world that would be a great thing. However, I don't see a chance in HE double hockey sticks that the government would even blink an eye considering this.
So that
and he called it, you know, not very responsible.
So that is a position that he has taken. There is a lot of fear. So Hamilton was taken over. I've been told that Hamilton was taken over at some point in the last 10 years. And when that happened, they closed half a dozen schools. They closed popular programs because there was no local pressure to stop that from happening, because they were no longer accountable to local communities because it was one person who had been appointed by the minister. So there is a very real potential consequence of trying to push like this. But I think that the potential benefits outweigh the potential risks.
Lyra Evans, let me ask you, as a school board trustee, with this updated plan that just came out yesterday afternoon, do you consider it safe for the kids at OCDSB as it stands right now, the plan that came out last night?
Yeah, so we have heard safe. And what we should be looking for is, you have to define safe. You're never going to be able to get 0% risk. But I think... and you're talking about the high school plan. I think that the classes of 15 are going to be reasonably safe from COVID, but I think the educational aspects are going to be lost. I don't think that we're going to be able to make sure that our most vulnerable students, the students with special needs, the students who might have struggles with literacy, are going to be able to succeed as well as they would have under the system I have proposed, or under the system last year before COVID.
So you're worried about the kids. Is it during the off days when they're at home learning from home independently? That's when you're concerned that they're going to fall behind?
That, and the fact that they're going to be in, like, it's hard to focus on a single thing for 4 hours in a row, even with a 10-minute break. And so I think that with a loss of the social aspects of school, the inability to talk to colleagues, is going to be harder to keep people focused. And yes, the stay-at-home time is going to be tough for a lot of students. You are handing teenagers a computer and saying, we're aware that there is all of the internet on here and also schoolwork, and asking them to make the right choice 100% of the time.
Lyra Evans, great to have you on the show. Hope we can have you back.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Lyra Evans, school board trustee for Zone 9. Getting some opinion there on the updated schedule, the updated plan. You can actually see the sample schedule. Check out our website, cfra.com, or ottawa.ctvnews.ca. And you can get some more information on that. We have some of the sample schedules up there, the plan. That trustee is saying it's not enough. We've got to spend $255 million more. You let me know what you think. Join the conversation, ottawa.now@cfra.com. That's our email address. Just come on and
dance. You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
353, welcome back to the show. The entire Cineplex cinema chain officially reopens across Canada on Friday. You know, we have Cineplex theaters here in Ottawa, also in Gatineau. On July 1st, Cineplex opened 25 movie theaters across our province, including the Scotiabank Theatre in Gloucester, the one on Carling Avenue. The Cinema Star Cité in Gatineau has also been open a bit earlier. It opened up on July 3rd. But now there are more locations opening, including the one at Lansdowne, the Cineplex Odeon in South Keys, and the one in Barrhaven. Also another one in Brockville and in Cornwall. So they've implemented all of these safety precautions and new practices for their staff. But the big test, I think, will be the release of this Christopher Nolan film, Tenet, which is opening up. People are really excited about it. Will they go back to the movie theaters? Joining me right now to chat about this, as well as the opening of that film, I have Richard Krause on the line, the host of CTV's Pop Life. He's also our film critic. Hi, Richard. How you doing?
Good, Christy. How are you?
Exciting news.
It is exciting news. Theaters have been open sporadically, certainly in Toronto, where I'm calling you from. Some theaters have been open, some haven't. The one right around the corner from me will be open tomorrow, and that's exciting. You know, I've been seeing things on Twitter, particularly after you guys called and asked me to talk about this. I went on Twitter and just to get a feel over what or how people are feeling about this, because everyone was saying to me, because of my line of work, oh, I can't wait to get back in the theaters. I've been missing the theatrical experience so much. And then there is this one glum picture that BlogTO posted of a completely empty theater with just one person in it last night. And you are allowed 50 people, socially distanced with masks and the whole thing. So I don't know if people are rushing to go back. Now, granted, there's not that much to see just yet. Tenet will change that. But I'll be interested to see what happens next Wednesday when Tenet opens.
I know, and it's expected to be this huge, high-grossing film's biggest film of the summer, big-ticket item, and I just wonder if it will be, or I wonder if it'll end up looking like that picture from the blog you're talking about.
Well, I hope not. I mean, you know, listen, SpongeBob, Sponge on the Run, and Unhinged were in theaters last Friday, and they both did okay, considering that there were only about half the amount of screens were open, and then you could only get 50 people in each theater. And they did all right for that. This coming Friday, on the 28th, you'll have Tenet, which opens on Wednesday, but that will be open, plus Bill and Ted Face the Music, plus the New Mutants, another X-Men movie. So you're going to have new stuff that people, I think, probably would have been excited to see anyway, coming to the theaters, and that will be the big test. Whether people will go back, I think if Tenet can't get people in the theaters, they may as well close down the theaters and just wait until everyone's been vaccinated or the COVID-19 pandemic is over, because it is a Christopher Nolan movie. It's the big kind of blockbuster, summer blockbuster that people look forward to when it's a little hotter out and you want to get some good air conditioning in the movie theaters. If that can't get people in next week, virtually nothing will.
Yeah, and I do think some people will be taking a wait-and-see approach. Disney Plus and Mulan, what are your predictions? What is your forecast for that and how well-received it will be?
I think it's going to be very well-received. I think one of the things that we've learned over the last 5 or 6 months, as people have been exploring different ways of releasing films, is when you release high-level films for younger people on streaming services, they get watched. We saw that with the Trolls World Tour film. We saw that with Scoob, which was a Scooby-Doo movie from Warner Brothers. And now Mulan, which people were excited about seeing in the theater. This is a very big, very expensive movie that was supposed to be one of the tent poles of the summer, this big movie of the summer, and Disney has decided to put it on their streaming service, Disney Plus, for $30. Keep in mind, it's not part of your subscription. It's not like Netflix. It's not like you know, any of the other streaming services that you pay $10 a month for, and then you get everything. This is a separate thing, and you only have the movie as long as you have Disney Plus. So you're not actually buying the movie; you are renting it for the amount of time that you will that you maintain Disney Plus. And I think people will do it. I think $30 to me in Canada, it's about $34. I think with taxes all in and everything. I think it sounds expensive to me, but if you have three kids and you would have taken them to the theater to see this, it would cost you far more than that. And now you have it at home and you can watch it, you know, a few times if you want to.
Kids like to see
things over and over again.
It's an investment for 2 hours of silence and peace and quiet.
Well, I think that's what what we've come to learn here in this COVID time.
Yeah, is that what we've learned?
That money, well, it's one of the things we've learned, is it's money well spent if you can keep kids entertained for a couple of hours with a movie that they'll watch a few times.
You know, I'd love to have various guests, friends of the show on, and we could all just do a lessons learned COVID. Here's what I've learned, and I love that one. Okay, you know what I've learned? Maybe the pandemic has totally gone to my head and pickled my brain, because I actually liked an American pickle. I know it was stupid and silly, but I actually thought it was really charming, this movie about Seth Rogen, and he meets his ancestor who's been pickled, and, you know, there's two Seth Rogens, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, this is, I think, a really interesting movie, because it's got the silliest premise of the year. In 1919, Seth Rogen's great-grandfather is pickled in pickle brine. He stays there for 100 years. He comes out into a world that he doesn't know anything about, meets the young Seth Rogen, his great-grandson, and, you know, things happen. I won't give it away. But the interesting part about this movie, for me anyway, was how sweet it was, and also how it took a look at, with metaphor and everything else, had a look at the immigrant experience. Imagine just plopping down in the middle of somewhere where everything that you know is different, everyone that you know is gone, the way of life that you perhaps had known before doesn't exist, and, you know, you have to adapt to that, and that's sort of what this movie is about in some ways. And it's also very funny. I mean, it's a movie that actually has something to say. Yeah. I don't laugh out loud very often at movies, and my wife was commenting while I was watching this, and I laughed out loud quite a bit. It's funny. It's sweet. Seth Rogen, if you love him, you get twice as much Seth Rogen, because he plays the two roles. Yeah. And it's good stuff, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was very sweet, and I'm the same. I was cackling away on my couch. So appreciate that. Richard Krause, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Christy.
Some sage wisdom from Richard Krause, host of CTV's Pop Life and film critic. Go check it out. It is 4 o'clock. We've got 2 hours to go on our show and a lot more to talk about. Should trick-or-treating be canceled? Don't yell at me. I'm not saying it should be, but we'll ask an epidemiologist coming up.